Let's start this final session with a meditation. So in the Majjhimaka in general, but particularly in the Prasangika, when we go into this emptiness practice, the Vipassana practice, it's very much recommended to begin by focusing on ourselves as a person to see if there's an inherently existent person here, a person who exists from their own side. So let's do that investigation. As always, we're setting the body into a state of relaxation, stillness. In preparing the mind, simply allowing the mind to rest in the present breath throughout the body. Or blaming you for something you never did. Physical situation clearly to mind. Picture that situation clearly, you never did. Now, do you have a sense that there's a me, do you have this experience? Because if it exists from its own side, it does this mean? So search thoroughly every part of the body. Who's being blamed? Or is the whole body itself? Is the me who's being blamed anywhere? So again, search thoroughly every part of the mind. Being blamed. Or is the mind itself simply something which me is the combination of the body and the mind? Or is the con the blamed person possesses? What else is there here? The body and the mind here. Where is the me who's being blamed? If you can't seem to find the me, didn't find the me, isn't there someone who's experiencing this? So there is a me, but how can that me exist if we don't seem to be able to find it? The me exists as something merely the merely labeled me. So there's a few more things I want to comment on this Mahayana path chart, but first Let's look at the section in the text, the last section, talking about the actual presentation of grounds and paths, and try to answer a question from earlier as well. So the first part, the first sentence there says, there is no difference in terms of superiority among the views that are the objects of meditation of the persons of all three vehicles, selfness as a phenomena, as their main objects of meditation. And what we saw in all the lower schools is in what they meditate on and what they realize. But here, as a bodhisattva, all of them are realizing everything lacking inherent existence, everything being empty of inherent existence. To achieve nirvana, you have to realize Iris or Realizer or Bodhisattva. Remember, all the lower schools, substantially existent self. Before is, what happens then for, where are they on the path? Because realize lack of inherent existence, which is only asserted by Prasangika, your tenet system, and the practitioner. The tenet system may be following one of the other schools. In your be something more subtle than what is presented in the tenet system. And that is definitive and interpretive, is that all these other teachings about convention all leading us to realize this lack of inherent existence. The Prasangika assertion is that through your own practice, you'll eventually come to look at the various proponents of the various tenet systems. So Asanga presented the Chittamatra view, accepts that view as the definitive view, or was he mainly... So what we shouldn't assume is that just because Asanga presents the Chittamatra system, that, like the Buddha, he presented it as a way of helping people to go deeper in their practice. If you want to progress along the Mahayana path to Nirvana, what's being said in that first sentence. If we go on to the next sentence, because hearers and solitary realizers take the two conceptions of self together with their, whereas bodhisattvas take the latencies of those conceptions as their main objects. Solitary realizers, of course, do not have bodhicitta, and they achieve the afflictive obscuration, so that's their main object of abandonment. Whereas the bodhisattva, two obscurations, the afflictive and the cognitive. So of course, by eliminating. And then if we go on to the next sentence, it says, the suchness, abandonment of the two conceptions of self together with its seeds in the continuum of a hero or solitary realizer, and such a suchness in the continuum of a hero or solitary realizer, arhat. In the lower schools, the idea of nirvana with remainder meant with a remainder of the aggregate. And a nirvana without remainder was the severing of those aggregates. That remainder. But for them, they're not talking about the aggregates of dualistic appearance. And without that in meditative equipoise is appearing. So there's no remainder of the aryas. In particular here, we're talking about arhats. So appearing is emptiness. There's nothing else appearing. Whereas when they come out... latencies of ignorance yet, so they still have this mistaken dualinder of that dualistic appearance outside of meditation. So that's how different way than the lower schools. And then who are definite in that lineage from the very beginning, and I'll explain what that means. Simultaneously with the attainment of the eighth ground and the complete abandonment of the peace. So we talk about and also here in Prasangika, in the Majjhimika. So someone who's definite enter the Mahayana path. So then they follow the Mahayana path as afflictive obscurations over the first seven grounds. And so at the end of the seventh ground, they'd be cognitive obscurations and then achieve the path of no more learning. They become shortly. So that's what's saying here, that someone who enters the Mahayana indefinite in lineage, or who starts as a hero or solitary realizer. They enter the path to nirvana. They eliminate the... And then, it's from a prasamika, a mental body. This is after the body finishes that they used when they became an arhat, of what's called solitary peace, whereby they're in a state of solitary peace. Nothing else is appearing. But from a pop out of that state, because it was not a final state, they will go on to now follow the Mahayana path. But of course, because they look exactly the same as this, because they've already eliminated the afflict of enlightenment. So for the Prasangikas and the Svatantrikas and most of the art, everyone eventually will become enlightened. We talk about these four bodies. Actually, the word is of an enlightened, of a Buddha. And we can talk of the aspect of enlightened being, and this is called the Rupa Kaya. Stated as form body. And then we can talk about often translated as the truth body. And here we talked about way back on the path of doing virtue and wisdom of emptiness. So it's virtuous activity, the merit, is really the main cause for the main cause for the Dharmakaya, the enlightened mind. So we can talk about two kayas in the mind. And these two can be further divided into two. Into two, the Svabhavakaya or Svabhavikakaya and the Jhana Dharmakaya. And this is the wisdom truth body. So when we divide the Dharmakaya is the nature of the mind of enlightened beings. So this is basically emptiness. And then the Rupakaya is the manifestation or physical aspect levels. Sambhogakaya and the Nimanakaya. Sambhogakaya, and this is a subtle can perceive because they've purified their mind enough. So a Sambhogakaya, high-level bodhisattva, an Arya bodhisattva, whereas a Nimanakaya, seen by an ordinary person. So this is sort of two levels of subtle four kayas. So sometimes you'll hear two kayas, two bodies of a Buddha, and that'll be Dharmakaya, Sambhogakaya, Nimanakaya, very common, and then Dharmakaya. But this is not so common. More common is either just of Dharmakaya, Sambhogakaya, Nimanakaya. That's a more common present body. So this can be, this of course is the emptiness of the mind. Dharma Dharmakaya is wisdom, truth body. So that's the mind. The mind common. This you don't really see that much. You'll see more the...
It's like two truths of the Dharmakaya.
Sorry?
It's like two truths of the Dharmakaya. One is the mind.
I mean, you could, yeah.
What do you mean for
that? Arya Bodhisattva, so first ground, Bodhisattva.
And doing these in some present.
Right, okay. So in the Mahayana systems, about the same, these 10 grounds, and within, they often present a 5-stage model, but not really the same as this for consistency. But then to sort of massage that in, 3 extras.
Yeah.
It's sort of a bit of an awkward fit, but much more subtle, that doesn't really fit into this particular model as like, or more commonly you'll see another model which happens to... because now we've finished the Prasangika presentation.
We started on part with union of efforts for some realization, especially conceptual realization of realizing, having the shamatha or kamabhaya in mind.
For it to be a realization, you need shamatha. Realization. Yeah. Yeah. Because that's what realization. Yeah. In shamatha.
Yeah. Stages where you can only be absorbed for short periods.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And often, actually, in the modern day Theravada traditions, when you talk about concentration, practicing the jhanas, and there are four of those, and this to the first jhana. So, in terms of deep jhana, third jhana, fourth jhana, all of those from a Mahayana perspective are suitable. Even before that, you know, there's talk about being able to sit, even in some of the Theravada texts, the first jhana, any problem. No problem at all. Well, especially when we talk about direct realization of emptiness, your mind is not stable and clear enough. Of course, now, without shamatha, we can affect us, but it'll wear off. It'll wear off. Yeah, again, you can have a strong path. Most commentators, even to enter into, say you need shamatha. And the ones who say you don't need shamatha, most of the other commentators I've seen say you need eight or nine, stage eight or nine. Otherwise, you need a very clear and focused mind. Yeah. Oh, yeah, the six perfections, correct. Seeing these six perfections the whole way, because they're the main practices on the whole mind, is that at that level, that perfection is depending on the six perfections. Ethics on the second ground is that you do not even have a non-virtuous thought. I think prayer is to do with the bodhisattva aspirations. Power, no, I'll leave it out. And exalted wisdom is really... it's to do with a lot of the, I think, bodhisattva. In the ninth, yeah, it could be the ten powers, might be right. It doesn't really mean much apart from Mary being before realizing emptiness. So that's what it means by mundane, supreme qualities that you're going to have as an ordinary being. Because very soon... This is not really, I mean, even though this is the entry point to these are just very clearly definable points that we can see referring to the Mahayana path, we would have gone along. So that's one thing. And to understand, for that point, we can get to have a clear signpost of that's where we are, that we can measure. And yeah, in the Tibetan tradition, which is following this, we also, of course, talk, if we enter into that level of practice where we're trying to gain access. It's just PR, isn't it?
Yet when you look at this, it's just no way
it could be done in one time. Yeah, I mean, so this is like we as an individual, of course, can use this map and use these ideas. And then, you know, and you're right. I mean, many, of course, a lot of people in the Asian societies do, but not out of any good reason. It's just because, you know. So I think that if we have some of this, and then, of course, if there's no rebirth, we've done the best thing, then we'll see. You know? So, you know, I don't think we need...
No, I wasn't thinking of it like that. I think it's a bit connected with
sure.
John's kind of concept of reincarnation.
Right.
A real block.
Sure.
Then they look at this
thing. Right. That's why we need to enter into this at our own level. that'll come later. So I think just operate it whatever long and then see what comes up next. Any other questions? Okay. So that completes the... So again, as we said right at the beginning, the four Tibetan schools, they, as their tenet system, it's very subtle, not so easy to understand, and it's easy to misunderstand and misinterpret, like stepping stones to that view. So if we can really appreciate the Vaibhashika, in that we can move closer and closer to the Prasangika view. But also, of course, on top of things to practice that actually do bring us a lot of benefit in our life as well. So getting us sort of on the way to the Prasangika view. So just to sum one of the first charts, the Four Buddhist Tenet Systems chart, we can, again, understand that the systems developing in ancient India, the first schools, and then the Sautrantikas, also based on the Four Noble Truths teachings, do 7 centuries through Dharmakirti. So in both of those philosophical systems is this grasping onto a self-sufficient person. There is, in fact, if we eliminate this grasping onto self-sufficient, substantially existent self, Mara. And then what we saw is that the Chittamatra and Majjhamika, respectively, and in both of those philosophical systems, achieve a nirvana. For Chittamatra and the Svatantrika, kind of a grasping onto a self-sufficient, substantial self to go on to achieve the further goal of enlightenment. In Chittamatra, the reality that things are existing external to us. Svatantrika, Sangika, of course, the grasping onto inherent existence is the enlightenment, are simply these latencies of ignorance and this mistaken duality. And what we've seen also, one of the things that distinguish Prasangika, for something to exist, it must be findable, i.e. it must inherently exist. Opposite view, that nothing exists inherently, nothing exists from its own self. What is the continuity? What is the thing that sort of goes from life to life? They all point to something as the illustration of the person, often the control. Whereas the Prasangika, of course, because they do not accept the I or person merely labeled on the basis of the body and the mind. So these are very briefly then the four Buddhist tenet systems that I think it can be very helpful to try to understand. Not only as a stepping stone to the Prasangika view, but also because they meant in our daily life as well. They're not some abstract thing that we can't relate to.
You know, it's different kinds of learning, memorise things, trying to get that and stuff like trying to think of, for example, or the stories attached. So one of the things that I struggle with is that you've got any time to bring it alive, like short, juicy bios of each of them,
some of these texts, I haven't really looked in these, but in some of them, about the actual, and often you'll find that often they will start with a very long biography of that earlier mastery of an earlier, then often out of respect, they'll say this person was as a sign of respect and reverence. So you can find that often in those commentaries. It is true, Wikipedia is quite good. It's good to sometimes read these because then you can relate to the Okay, time's run out. So let's, by dedicating not only all the positive this weekend and last weekend, and again, we can sit quietly for a moment, motivations, and then we can read Shanti Deva's prayer together again. So let's read Shanti Deva's dedication prayer. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body merits, May no living creature suffer, commit evil or ever fall oppression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food, the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective, quickly be freed from their ailments, whatever diseases there are in the world, and those bound be freed. May the powerless find power, for as long as sentient beings remain. Until then, my eye too remains.